Lord, we just ask you to, again, be in our midst, Lord, and we invite you into our hearts. And Lord, for those who may not have joined us this morning, we just ask you, Lord, to bless their hearts with your peace and the revelation knowledge of knowing that they're in a safe place. I speak to the enemy and I forbid him to bring any condemnation to anyone. Anyone here who may be struggling with things they have done or things that have been done to them, and that the enemy is starting to try to bring condemnation in any way, I just take authority over that in the name of Jesus, and I break that power from you in Jesus' name. I ask the Holy Spirit to be here, and if there's any areas of conviction that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, we welcome that, but we forbid the enemy to come and bring that condemnation. I'm just going to quickly talk about back to the womb, and then we're going to walk through a practice, a technique with that, and then we're going to take a 5-minute break or 10-minute stretch, and then we're going to do our first ministry session. I know we will do 2 public ministry sessions. I want some time to do some things as a group. So if we have time to do 3 and the group exercises, we will. But if we don't have time to do all 3, we'll do 2. But then Paul and Charisse will be doing some ministry for those individuals. Please talk to Pastor Sam. If you want a public session, if you want any ministry session, please go through him. And I want to talk just for a moment about our reactions that we experience while we're in the womb as children. And I want to talk about pre-birth reactions, the things that happen while we're in the womb that affect us today. And I have a chart, and I'm just going to walk through this quickly. I want to talk about the condition or the circumstance and the common pattern that would follow the baby in his life after birth. If a child was not wanted, if that child was conceived out of wedlock, or if the parents were not planning to become pregnant, and this baby's conception was the wrong timing, perhaps the financial circumstances of the family, they didn't feel that they could financially afford a baby yet. When a child is not wanted by the parents, the pattern after birth in that child might be, now remember, it's never 100% sure, but this is something we look for when we do ministry, performance orientation. They may always be trying to perform to do enough to receive the mother or the father's approval. This is very typical of young men who are always trying to get their father's approval, and nothing they do seems to be good enough or successful enough in the father's eyes. So what we look for is, was this child wanted? Was this a wanted pregnancy by either the mother or the father or both? Conceived out of wedlock. When the baby has been conceived and the parents were not married, many times they'll have a strong sense of shame as children and as adults, a lack of belonging, feeling like they don't fit somewhere. If they were the wrong sex, in the sense that the father wanted a son and this baby is a girl, or the mother wanted a daughter and it's a son, the pattern after birth might be trying to be the other sex, striving to please, and a defeatist type attitude. Now, I work with a lot of homosexuals and lesbians, and what I do, the first thing I do with them is I go back to that pre-birth experience, and I cancel the words that were spoken over that baby while that baby was in the womb. If it's a daughter and the father was, you know, speaking to the baby, saying, I can't wait for you to be born, you know, we're going to play tennis together, we're going to be close friends, you know, you're going to grow up, you're going to be successful, you're going to be a doctor. Or if the mother is saying, you know, I have to have a son because of the culture. then that baby doesn't understand the reason why, but what that baby is hearing is that they're the wrong sex. And so the enemy takes that and uses that against them. So when they are born, their pattern would be trying to be another sex. I just can't tell you how many women I have prayed with that have very masculine features and characteristics. And when we go back to the womb, they will cry and they will say, I should have been a boy. You know, God made a mistake. But we all know God doesn't make mistakes. But that baby in the womb feels like they're a mistake. So they may act out in some kind of sexual performance. Child after miscarriage or abortion, we talked about that earlier. They try to make up for the loss, or they're over serious. They may be angry at being a replacement for the child that had been aborted or miscarried. Mother's fear of childbirth. If the mother is fearful of childbirth when she's pregnant, then that child may have intense fear or insecurity. If she's a female, when it comes time for her to have children, she may have a real intense fear of giving birth herself that was passed to her through the womb from her mother's feelings. A mother loses a loved one during the pregnancy. The child may have intense sadness, fear of death, may feel very lonely, fear of losing loved ones, of always being fearful of the mother or the father dying. That may have been transferred. If the mother is a heavy smoker or a drinker, the predisposition to the baby or the adult as they grow would be very severe anxiety, might be something that was passed to that child. If there's a lot of fighting in the home when the mother's pregnant, the baby and as an adult, as that child grows into adulthood, they may be very nervous, have a lot of nervousness, fear, or very jumpy. When people startle them easy, scare them easy. If the father dies or leaves when the baby is in the womb, the baby is born with a feeling, a sense of guilt, of self-blame, anger. The baby will grow up expecting to always be abandoned, especially if it's a father, feeling like that men will abandon them their whole life. They may have a death wish or depression. They may just wish that they had never been born. Every time you have those thoughts of wishing that you had never been born, or that you wish that you could just die and be with Jesus, it opens up the door of the enemy. It's garbage that gives the enemy right to bring a real strong spirit of death into your life, to try to do what Scripture says, the enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. It can be death to the physical body, death to the emotional man, death to the spiritual man, death to your prosperity. You know, death can manifest in many areas than just a physical death of the body. Unwholesome sex during pregnancy, or more than one sex partner when the mother is pregnant. The baby or the adult may have an aversion to sex, fearful of male organ parts. We had a lady we prayed with that her mother had been raped when she was pregnant. And going back to the womb, this woman had grown up her whole life being fearful of men and men's organs. And so every time she would try to have a relationship with her husband intimately, this intense fear would come over her, because as a baby in the womb, she remembered her mother being violently raped by a man, so that fear came into the womb at that time. Induced labor or C-section, the baby or the adult may have problems bonding with the mother, craves physical contact because many times when the baby is born, especially in C-section, they'll take the baby immediately from the mom, and there'll be a season there that there's no bonding that is allowed between the mother and the baby. If there's unusually painful delivery, the baby or the adult as they grow may have expressed anger or depression. And then if the baby is born with the cord around its neck, they'll have throat-related problems many times. So when we ask the person what's going on in your life, emotionally or even physically, if someone's having trouble swallowing, the first thing we do is we go back and we cancel anything that passed to that baby during the time of the womb. Okay? Now, I believe this with my whole heart. No matter how a child is conceived, whether it be through rape or abuse of some kind, through physical force or out of wedlock, I believe my whole heart that no baby is born without Jesus allowing it to be born, because that baby has to pass through his hands. And God, I believe many times his perfect will and his permissible will. His perfect will would be that the mother and the father are married and that they invite this baby, this conception, to take place. I think that's God's best, and that's what he wants for all of us. But how many of us know when you mess around, there's a possibility of a baby being conceived? And so when some people enter into sexual relationships and a baby is born out of wedlock, I still believe that that baby is in God's plan. And he would have preferred that that baby be conceived a different way. But once conception takes place, there's life. And for whatever reason, however you were conceived, what we have to focus on is you were conceived and allowed to have life because God intended for you to be born. God may not have intended for you to be born through rape or any other negative situation like that, but once that conception has taken place, then God's blessing is on that baby, not on the sin, but on that baby, and his plan, his design is for that baby to have life. Okay, anybody have a question about that or a comment? Okay, this is what we're going to do. Okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you in a few minutes when we do this, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just relax. And you don't have to be fearful because I don't hypnotize. I don't believe in hypnosis. I wouldn't know how to hypnotize if I had to. I don't even know if I can spell the word. So you don't have to be fearful of that. God speaks to us differently. Some of us have an impression and a knowing on our heart. Some of us can see spiritually. We can see in pictures. Some of us can hear God's voice. And some of you may not experience anything. But it doesn't mean it's not working. Because the Word of God says, at the name of Jesus, demons have to bow. So anything negative that transferred to you in the womb, we're going back and we're doing spiritual warfare by breaking everything that come against you during that time. And as I said earlier, you know, we can't take you and stick you back in your mother's womb, you know. But we can go back spiritually and break these things off of you. So what I want you to do as we do this, if anything comes to your mind, I want you to kind of make a mental note of this so that we can talk about it when we have questions. If you feel any kind of intense anxiety, sometimes people just go to sleep. Sometimes they had a wonderful womb experience, and I had one woman that slept all the way through it, and then I couldn't get her to wake up afterwards. And so, and then I had one man that got stuck. I go through each month, and I bless your conception, and I cancel spiritually any right the enemy had to you during those months. And I got to this one man, and in the sixth month, I said, I bless your conception at the sixth month, and we move on to the seventh month, and out of his mouth he says, this is exactly how he said it, this isn't proper English, I ain't a gonna go, is what he says. And this man just started weeping, and he refused to let me continue on. And so I started asking the Holy Spirit to help us, and he said that he remembered in the womb that he was conceived out of wedlock. And that when his father found out that his mother was pregnant, they weren't married, and he left. And he was experiencing the feelings in the womb that he didn't want to be born because he knew his daddy wasn't going to be there. And so what we had to do is to ask Jesus to come and speak to his heart. And yes, the true picture, the experience is he was born out of wedlock. His father did not want him, and his dad was not there. That is truth, and we can't change that. But if he had to choose between his father being there and Jesus being there, who would you rather have if he had to choose between one or the other? You would want Jesus to be there. So when Jesus spoke to his heart that your father's not going to be there, but I'm going to be there with you all the way, then he was able to let me go ahead and bless the seventh month and the eighth month and the ninth month. And then what I said in the ninth month, he felt like God was giving him a new name. He felt like God was calling him Moses. And so when I got to the ninth month, I just blessed this baby that God had called Moses there to be born into life. And he says, Lord, I'm coming. And, you know, he was so excited about being born. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I have a hard time in my mind with this. But the man was an evangelist. He was about 70 years old. And he had been invited to speak at the church that Sunday morning. And in my head, I'm going, I just don't understand this, especially with men. Men love to go through the womb experience. You know, I don't understand. Maybe it's because they cannot, you know, carry a baby to life. And so one time, just for fun, when we got to the ninth month, I just asked the Lord to let them experience some labor pains. You know, like, okay, Lord, just, you know, but it didn't work. But anyhow, I thought, well, if they really want to experience this, let them experience it all. But this man was so touched by the Holy Spirit that he was not a mistake. And yes, his daddy wasn't there, but God was his whole life. Then Sunday morning's message was all about his womb experience. You know, and of course, people didn't understand, but God just did something really powerful in his heart. So I believe as we do this, that God's breaking things off of you. You may not know what he's done until later when you have a time that you might would normally feel rejected, and all of a sudden you realize that the rejection is gone. And so we just ask the Lord to come and just work within each one of you and your personality, however best for you to hear what he has for you. Okay? Okay. I just want you to relax and close your eyes. Jesus, help us here. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon each person, that they're open to your spirit and receiving whatever you have for them to receive today. And I forbid the enemy to interfere in this. I forbid the enemy to rob any of you of the experience that God has for you today. So to the best of your ability, I want you to picture the best you can the hands of Jesus before you. And in his right hand he has a sperm, and in his left hand he has an egg. And this isn't just any sperm or any egg. These are ones that God chose before you were even conceived. He spoke to Jesus which sperm and which egg, when come together, would make you the man or woman he intended for you to be. So to the best of your ability, I'm going to ask you to see yourself there with the hands of Jesus. And just see yourself place your hands on the hands of Jesus, allowing that sperm and that egg to come together and conception to take place. And as you do this, I'm going to ask you to repeat this with me. In the name of Jesus, I renounce any spirit of death that entered into my life at conception. I choose resurrection life in Jesus. I choose to be the man or woman that God created me to be. I bless my conception. And Holy Spirit, as two cells multiply to four, and four to eight, and eight to 16, and so forth, would you take this little fertilized egg, this little embryo, and place it in their mother's womb? And as your word says in Psalms 139, that you knitted babies together, that you knit us together in various colors and personalities, and you place us in our mother's womb, and you hold us and keep us there in secret. And so, Lord, would you just hold each one of these little embryos, and would you breathe resurrection life by your spirit into each one of these embryos, allowing life to be there. And allow Jesus to allow his presence to be there and sense his presence. Allow him to hold you in your mother's womb and keep you safe. And if that womb is dark, I ask the Holy Spirit to brighten it with the Shekinah glory of God, with that light that's so bright that it brings just unconditional love and acceptance. So may you feel the love of Jesus in that in your mother's womb. And as Jesus holds you and keeps you safe, I want to take authority over generational spirits that transferred to you during that time. And I first take authority over any spirits on the maternal side of the family. I command any spirits of death and destruction, spirits of disease and illness and infirmity, spirits of witchcraft, conflict, strife, any spirits of mental illness and depression, spirits of poverty, spirits of manipulation and control, anything tied to false religions, I cancel any baby dedications that were made on behalf of any counterfeit gods. I take authority over any white magic or black magic. I cancel any incantations, hexes or vexes or potions. I take authority over every word that was spoken against this pregnancy and against this baby on the maternal side of the family. And I command it be broken today in Jesus' name. I take authority over the paternal bloodline. I cancel any cravings and addictions. I take authority over the spirit of anger and hate, spirits of prejudice and infirmity and disease and illness, any spirits of shame and unworthiness and insecurity. I take authority over any performance orientation, any spirits of perfectionism, spirits of rage and bitterness and resentment, anything that's been placed in the male side of the family to build a resistance against Christianity and the bloodline. I take authority over that today, and I break it in Jesus' name. And I command all those spirits throughout the generations, starting with the very first generation, I pour the blood of Jesus over every family member from the very first generation of your family, continuing forward to your generation today. And we pour the blood of Jesus over you, over your children, your grandchildren, over every generation from now to eternity. Lord, we pray that every child born in these family lines come to know you at a swift age and know the purpose of their calling in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask that the angels come and guard around any of these spirits that we've broken and to keep them in one place until we send them to your feet, Jesus. Now I bless these little babies in the first month. I bless you with peace. I bless you with a relationship to know your Creator. And I bless you with God's truth in the first month. I cancel any death that's been transferred to you in the first month. And I speak life in Jesus to you. And I bless you, little ones, in the second month. And in the second month is when the enemy comes and brings his lies. And I speak truth to you in the name of Jesus. Psalms 139 says, before the foundations of the world, God knew you, and he knitted you together and placed you in your mother's womb. And I speak truth to that lie of the enemy, that you were a mistake and you should have never been conceived. And I break it with Psalms 139. And for the lies of the enemy that says that you should have been a boy instead of a girl, or a girl instead of a boy, I speak truth to that. Father God spoke to the Holy Spirit just which sperm, which egg to bring together to make you you. And you're just who you're supposed to be. And your mom and your dad may have wanted a different sex, but the truth is, Father God wanted you to be who he created you to be. And if the enemy has lied to you and told you that you're a burden to your family, that your family would have been better off if you'd never been born, again, I speak truth to that lie. Father God does not make mistakes. He didn't send Jesus to be there at your conception and at your birth, and he didn't say, whoops, I made a mistake and sent you back. He knew that this was his time and his season for you to be born. So I bless you in the second month with God's truth. I bless you in the third month. I bless your personality. I bless your spiritual giftedness, your talents. I bless you with the ability to know your Creator. And I bless you with the ability to bond with your mother. I bless you with health and nutrition. I bless you with the joy of the Lord as your strength. And I bless you in the fourth month. I bless your femininity and your sexuality and your masculinity. I bless you with the beauty of the Lord in the fourth month. I bless your little fingernails and your little eyelashes and your little toes. I bless every part of your anatomy in the fourth month. And I bless you in the fifth month. I take authority over any feelings of sickness, morning sickness, that may be passed to you through your mother. Any anxiety, any kind of addictions that's being passed to you through your mother's blood. I take authority over that in the fifth month and I break it. And I bless you with peace. And I ask Jesus to hold you and let you feel his love. And his protection and his joy. And I bless you in the sixth month. And by the sixth month, every part of your anatomy has been put in place. And it's just a time of growth. So I bless you with God's growth, with his strength. I bless your heartbeat. I bless your blood. I bless every organ to come in line with the way that God created it to be. Any kind of infirmities that's transferred to you in that womb, I again take authority over that in Jesus' name. And I speak to these babies and I tell you for your body to come in line with God's word in Jesus' name. I bless you in the seventh month. I bless your physical and your spiritual DNA. I bless you with the ability to receive love and to give love. I bless you with godly expectations for the future. And I take authority over any unreal, ungodly expectations as you're in that womb. I break the power of any fear of being born, fear of being a mistake, fear of the future, and I break that off of you in the seventh month. And I bless you in the eighth month. And in the eighth month, I just speak peace to your heart. In the eighth month, little babies know that things are changing. They're not able to move around as well. Things are getting a little more crowded. So I bless you with the knowledge that Jesus is still holding you in the palms of his hands in the eighth month. And I bless you in the ninth month. And in the ninth month, I call you forth to be born into the hands of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to the best of your ability to just picture yourself passing through the birth canal right in the hands of Jesus. And see yourself being born right into the hands of Jesus. Let him hold you and love you. I think if we could see his face, he's probably holding you up to Father God, saying, well done. This baby is perfect. 10 fingers and 10 toes, just the way you designed this baby to be. And God knew that each of you, when you were born into life, that sin would touch you in one way or another. But he also put everything in you at conception to let you know that you're going to make it. And he knew that as sin would touch your heart, that there would be a day that you would come and give your heart back to Jesus. And so I'm going to ask Jesus to hand you as a baby to yourself. I'm going to ask you to see yourself there with Jesus as an adult and hold that little baby part of yourself. This is the child that God created within. This is the one that was created in his image, a good gift given to the world to love and to be loved. And as you see yourself holding that part of yourself as a baby, some of you need to ask that baby part of you to forgive yourself for not loving yourself the way that Jesus loves you. Some of you have been very mean towards yourself. You've hated yourself, you've judged yourself, you've accused yourself. And you haven't loved yourself the way that Jesus loves you. And as you look at that innocent little baby, I'm going to ask you the question, does that little baby deserve to be held guilty for the things that have happened to you throughout your life? And just speak to that child within your heart and ask them to forgive you for being so mean to yourself. And as you do that, I want you to look around and see if you sense the spiritual umbilical cord still attached in the spirit realm to your mother. And if there is, the first thing we do is we bless the godly bonding between you and your mom. Everything that God has given you as a child with your mother that's of God, we bless that. And we thank Jesus for that child-mother relationship. But anything that the enemy has used to hurt, to control, to manipulate, to try to destroy that relationship between you and your mother, we take authority over that and we break it in the name of Jesus. We release you and we release her from each other. And we tell the enemy, you will not destroy this relationship. We bless your mother with God's truth and with salvation. And we bless the babies with God's truth and acceptance. And then to the best of your ability, I'm going to ask you to hand that baby part of yourself back to Jesus. Symbolically, as you're giving your heart to him again to keep, to hold, to heal. And as you hand that baby part of yourself back to him, see yourself dedicate every part of yourself to the Lord Jesus again. And I ask Jesus to wrap his arms around the adult part of yourself and that baby, that child within, and to give you a Father God hug like only Jesus knows how to give. That kind of hug where he just squeezes you really tight and tells you that he loves you just because you're you. Not because of what you've done, but just because you're you. And as you do that and he brings that baby heart of you right into your adult heart, making you whole, bringing that child that holds the faith into your adult heart, we bless your conception. We bless you to be the man and the woman that God created you to be. And as you learn to be that person, and as you learn to love yourself the way Jesus loves you, then you will be the best that he created you to be, because you'll be you. No one else but who he created you to be. So we ask the angels to gather together the spirits that we called out, to put them in a group, chain them together, and send them to the feet of Jesus. And we place the cross and the empty tomb between you, the generations, and any spirits that would try to come and take their place. We pour the blood of Jesus over you, and we seal what God has done in the name of Jesus. And we bless your conception in Jesus' name. Well, how many of you are asleep? Okay. How many of you were able to come? We did it kind of quickly, but how many of you were able to sense God's presence there with you? Anybody want to raise your hand? Okay. Okay. Anybody want to take a moment and share what they experienced? No pressure, but if you want to share. You want to? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, I could imagine myself in the room and just really cozy, and I think at one point I felt tension, like just some anxiety kind of, and but then once we kept going on, I could sense like that light, that bright light just coming in. It was just so overpowering that it just was brighter than any light that I had ever seen before. And then being able to see myself as a baby and speaking to myself and upon, like asking for forgiveness for not allowing myself to just be and who I'm supposed to be, and putting restrictions on myself and holding myself back just because, for many different reasons, and releasing myself to be able to be who God has called me to be in all that, in all its freedom, and then being able to hand myself to God and just like releasing and not putting all those expectations on myself that God didn't call me to put on myself. And then seeing all those things that Satan had come at me with, being thrown at Jesus' feet. And I never turned around to look at it, because I was just so buried in his chest. And I could just hear his heartbeat and just holding on to him. He didn't even have to say anything. He just had power. He had authority, and he didn't have to tell anyone that. He just was. And knowing that those strongholds were over.
Anyone have trouble holding themselves as a baby? Mm-hmm. That's one thing we look look for. One man that we prayed with saw himself grab the baby by his feet and start beating himself against the wall. So that was a good clue that he probably hated himself. So we knew where to start with him in ministry. Usually that it's a very peaceful... Now, it can be demonic. I mean, if it's something to where you're totally blocked out, but you don't have peace about it, then what we look for is demonic interference is trying to block you. But if you're real peaceful and you fall asleep, I would say most likely you were a very wanted child and you were just consumed with the love of God and that there wasn't a lot of negative things passed to you while you were in your mother's womb. And it's always good to hear those stories. I wish we heard more. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Quickly, if we're going to share. Are you wanting to share, sweetie? Were you wanting to swear? Yeah.
No,
okay.
My mama.
You were well loved. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I have a friend that does this in her Sunday school class with the children. You know, if we can get our children to understand that they're not a mistake, especially children of divorce, they want to blame themselves for their parents getting divorced. And if we can do this at a young age and they can see that they're a good gift, they can grow up so much healthier than any of us did. You know, I don't know. With me, I'm a very forgiving person. I usually am quick to forgive people. But there's one person I have a real hard time forgiving. And that's myself. And so many of you may not struggle with unforgiveness towards other people. But you may have a real hard time forgiving yourself for things you've done. Or things that have happened to you. You may hold yourself responsible for people hurting you. And many times abusers will tell you it's your fault. And when you're young and you're in pain and you're being hurt, if you have a low self-esteem, then you believe what they say. Women who have been raped have many times blame themselves. They feel like they could have done something to stop it, especially as a child. And then many times women who have been approached but haven't been raped, but the intent was there, still struggle with the same thing because they think they've done something to cause a person to want to violate them sexually. And so this is something we do several times. This is the first time for you to do this, I think most of you. But allow the Holy Spirit to continue to reveal things to you. There's not a right way and a wrong way to do this. You know, we're like, I just don't like this example, but it's a good example. We're like an onion, and God peels things off layer by layer until we get to that place of healing. Everything you do, every time you invite Him into a place of woundedness, He peels a layer off, one layer at a time. And hopefully we'll get to the place that we're never going to be perfect because the only person that was perfect was Jesus. But we're going to get to the place that we're healed today in the present. We're walking forward in healing because we know how to walk in healing. But He's still healing us from the past. And so we're healed, yet we're still being healed. And so I bless you with the ability to allow God to just keep taking you deeper and deeper in healing. Okay, we're going to take 5 minutes to stretch. And then I just need a couple of guys. We need to put these chairs in a circle the best we can. I need 3 chairs in the middle. Pastor Sam, do you happen to have any yellow sticky notes or anything? I never to write, you know, to pass in a ministry session if we need any. Okay, that's okay.